Blog Talk Radio.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the voice of the voiceless. This is the voice of black education, black emancipation, and black liberation. This is your platform for black empowerment, the Star and Crescent Report. And our show today is titled Crash and Burn Economics, the Continuation. It's about to come full circle, part two. So we didn't get a chance to do part two for a few days. You know what goes on behind the scenes, black man and black woman. We go through it all the time. So we don't even need to go into that. So for those of you who are listeners of the show, you already know what took place if we didn't do the show as we said we would. But I want to say this to you all, brothers. Since I was reading some articles last night, and early yesterday morning, and something caught my attention. Marie Le Pen, who is the conservative and right-wing voice of France, who is leading in the presidential polls in France, and she said something that really caught my eyes, and I could have sworn she took a page out of Elijah Muhammad when she went to Our Savior Has Arrived, and her words were almost spot on. I'm going to go to Our Savior Has Arrived, because I'm going to quote the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And why am I quoting him to talk about Marie Le Pen? It's because she uttered these exact words, okay? She says, in her statement, she says, the old world is going out. A new world, a new order has come in. This is not the old order under the old power structure and establishment. This is a new order under new governance. Now, let's go to Our Savior Has Arrived. And this has everything to do with crash and burn economics, the continuation. It's about to come full circle. In chapter 43 of Our Savior Has Arrived, Messenger Elijah Muhammad writes, the old world of mischief-making and bloodshed is now on its way out. Why is it on its way out, Elijah Muhammad? He comes back and answers, in order to make room for a new world of righteousness and peace. So Ms. Le Pen is telling us that the old world order and what's so specifically given to us, they talk about the old world order being the order that was dominated and is dominated by America and built upon the Bretton Woods and also has its roots in 1913 and 1914. So Muhammad goes further and he says, for the past 6,000 years, we have had to live in an evil world that was designed to destroy the peace of man and to shed his blood. All around the earth, there has not been one section of the world in which the original man has been or where he now lives that has not been touched or ruled by the evil of gods of the old world. So, right here, we get an understanding that that old order, that old rulership, leadership, financial order, political order, and establishment is ruled by sociopaths who have done nothing and have done nothing but shed blood, cause war, and destabilize the entire world. okay? We get an understanding of this. This has a lot to do with a financial order that is going supernova right here and right now, a political order that is dying and breathing its last breath full of corruption, madness, and stupidity. So, Muhammad writes, he says, the God of righteousness and peace today has made his appearance to take to himself the rule of the nations under the government of peace, freedom, justice, and equality. Stop right there. When Ms. Loree Le Pen was talking about a new world, a new governance, a lot of people thought that she was alluding to new politics, a new dynamics of the white world order because Trump is elected in. Because Europe is now in turmoil and they're pushing and reaching for something similar to, but not exactly like, America's order. But this is not what she was alluding to. When she was talking about, she specifically talked about the end of the old world order. And remember that Mr. Trump is a gangster. And all of these politicians are gangsters in suits. And they are trying their best, regardless of what Dave on the X-22 report, regardless of what Schiff said, they're all trying to maintain a system that has been detrimental to the aboriginal people on the planet Earth. It has been a succubus type of system that has leached upon host bodies from Africa, South and Central America, the Caribs, Asia, and even some of our people who were left in Europe and the Middle East and our brothers in Africa, right? They have waged wars. They have destabilized, overthrown, and boasted in the overthrow of governments and the exploiting of resources. This is what you call parasitic. Look at Europe now today. Because of their greed, because of their might is right, in their colonial mind state, they went in and destroyed the most prosperous nation over there in Africa, which is Libya, which was Libya, excuse me. And I was reading a report. This was written by Russia, some people in Russia. They were saying not only was Libya the most prosperous nation in Africa, it was more prosperous than most European nations, including Russia herself. This is something that you don't get. They had more rights than more democracies around the world. But because of greed, remember they wanted to control the underground water system. Libya had enough water, and these are water wars too, to turn the African Sahara into the most minerally rich and fertile land to grow food. They would have been the breadbasket of the world. They took the oil. You see how they're stealing the oil? They're doing it out of Syria too, aren't they? They're doing it out of Iraq too. These are oil wars over there, pipeline wars, gas wars, right? Greed. To keep a dollar system in place. To keep a pound system, the British sterling pound. To keep the euro afloat. They go in and destabilize these nations. For greed and for racist self-aggrandizement, because they believe that they are better and they should rule, they should dictate, and you should follow. You should submit or be bombed into oblivion, right? So they go in, destroy Libya. They go in with that Arab Spring and destabilize the whole region, the MENA area, Middle Eastern, North African area. They bomb, this is literally bomb Libya back to the Stone Age, right? Go look at some before and after pictures and see the democracy that NATO under American leadership brought to Libya. Go look at the pictures. They've done this out of greed and arrogance, that Eurocentric mind, and now they're crying that there's an influx or flood of refugees, a flood of Muslims, flood of black people into Europe. Hold up, hold up. Were they coming before you bombed them? Were they coming before you deployed your troops there, before you deployed ISIS and Al-Qaeda, all of your covert operations? No. But why did they come? You got to look at the heart, the reason of these things. And so now the economic burden has become so strenuous on the backs of the colonial powers. They want to hide or mask the true cause of the situation and blame the victim. This is tantamount to you going and raping your whole neighborhood. And when the neighborhood rises up, come together, and they need a vision, then they see you down the street, and they want and they need a place to stay. They go and take your land, or they come in your yard, and you start complaining to the police that the people whom you raped and robbed are on your property. Do you see that sociopathic, psychotic mind? Do you not see the derelict actions or the inept actions of a colonial power? This has been going on since they have been out of the caves of Europe. This cannot be denied. This is not racism. This is factism. So the burden of these already stressed economies, the burden, these financial burdens, because these thousands of immigrants who are fleeing and are refugees fleeing the destroyed areas of their nations. America let these terrorists in there. They train them. They arm and they equip them, right? They give them political cover. They go in there, murder, rape, destabilize, and then the people run out of the countries into the countries of the who created the situation, and then the people who created the situation are mad, and they're blaming the victim. This is the white man to the T. He goes in, if he can't get his way, or if it's blowback effect, he has a short memory on what caused this. But we are now seeing a debt burden that is ever growing. They can't get out of this. We're seeing America, the great empire, being stretched militarily. NATO being stretched militarily. The economies of America and Europe and Australia and New Zealand being stretched economically. All while the debt burden continues to grow. All while the job situation continues to deteriorate. All while the business, industrial, the scientific discovery, the manufacturing, and the commerce domestically and internationally is cut off. How can you blow yourself out of debt by issuing more debt? Huh? That's just like, that's tantamount to saying to yourself, if you were cut on your arm, I'm going to stop myself from bleeding by cutting myself on the other arm. And when that spot starts bleeding, I'm going to cut myself again. And I'm going to cut my, sooner or later, one of these cuts will stop me from bleeding. It's insanity. But this is what God has stricken the people with. He has stricken them with delusion in a time where their economies are so frail, their political systems are in an uproar, and the masses of the people who have enjoyed the benefits of Eurocentric dominance, of colonialism, white privilege, are now up in anger due to the fact that the system can no longer go on masking its parasitic ways. It cannot go on any longer expanding its tentacles around the world, because now the world is arming themselves economically and militarily, if not to take her own, but to rebuff her imperial ways. Is that not right? Crash and burn economics. The continuation. It's about to come full circle, part two. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to give you an insight of the mind of these people. A lot of us, we have short memories. You know, we're the only people who have been done so bad in history and are required to forget what our oppressors have done to us. Oh, that was in the past. We're the only people in the world that is forgiven of everybody's evil against us, but yet we won't forgive ourselves. We hold grudges against each other daily and hourly. And if somebody hates somebody else, go to, I can't stand that nigga. I don't want to be around. And then you say, well, what for? I don't want to talk about it. And you'll get somebody else who never knew that person to hate your brother. And then when you start talking about what the white man have done to you, not all white people bad. No, we can't look at that like that. Think about how your ancestors who own those rum factories, on those rubber plantations, those who are in the Middle Passage, and on all of those voyages from their homelands to destinations unknown would think of you today making love with your oppressors. It's a bad time to be ignorant, because we're living in the fall of America. We're living in the removal of the old world. Ms. Le Pen understood that. She recognized that the system has gone supernova. We have reached critical mass in the economic sphere, and they're screaming this to you, and they're telling you this, and they keep coming up with these dates, 1913, 1914, 1929, 1930. Why are they coming up with these dates? 1955, 1965, 1966, 1971. Why are they telling you this? 1971. And they keep pulling back. Well, the fiat currency, the central banks took us off. These people did not utter one word until the system's actions caught up with them. They didn't say that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. All they told you was America was free and prosperous and the engine of global economic growth. Well, if they told you that in the 80s and the 90s, what about in the 70s when they took the world off the gold and silver standard? That was just a byproduct, an effect of taking the world. You got taking the world off the gold and silver standard. You got a little leeway for a minute, but you became inebriated with the fact that you had the world reserve currency, that you can print up debt. And so you used that to embolden your military to go on escapades around the world thinking that you could overcome prophecy, thinking that you, unlike any other empire before you, could overcome God and that you could stretch yourself and that as long as the military kept growing and your military might kept improving, that you would be able to sustain your dollar. And now you're looking at something, the blowback, the ramifications, and they want to pin everything on the central bank. They don't want to pin everything on their actions prior to this. The white man will hide his hand at everything, but he would blame you. Think about this. I just want to, because this goes hand in hand, I want you to think about this. For those of you who when we talk about this, you think this is racist. I want you to think, let us just use common sense for a minute. Isn't that what the Bible tells you? Come, let us reason together. To reason, one must use the faculties that God gave you, which includes common sense, right? When we bring up to you the deeds of this man, this people, you'll say, not all of them are like that. That was back then. But the white man memorializes his tragedy. He will never, what they said about 9/11, we shall never forget, right? And we've had a billion 9/11s under them, right? And yet we're required to forget. For their so-called friendship, for being brought into their way of life, we are required to forget the evils and the ills that they put on our backs. And you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You say, well, that was back then. Well, I tell you what, if that is the rational way of thinking, then you go after having bad credit to a mortgage company and say, I need a loan because I'll see that house in this suburb that I want to get. They'll look at you and they'll say, nope, we got problems with your credit. And then you go tell them, well, that was back then. That was a few years ago. That was a few decades ago. But they keep a track record so that they can base their judgment on your previous actions, regardless of whether or not you're trying to change now. They have that. If you go to court, what do they do? But the judge won't even look at you sometimes. While he's talking to you, he's looking down at your track record that they have. Whether the track record is a good representation of you or not. And he'll go all the way back to your teenage years and prior to your juvenile years. He is not so dumb as to ignore your previous history. You are dumb enough to ignore his previous history, his track record. And he keeps this. And this is how he judges you. This is how he sentences you. You are a fool, black man and black woman, and you must awaken. Because everything around you is falling apart. Everything is changing. There was another leader, Fillon of the French white right-wing part, left-wing party, and he was talking about things have changed. Everything has changed. He's telling the truth. See, they recognize that we're living in the midst of change. They recognize that the old governance, the old system, the old order has now gone out, and a new world is being established right under your eyes, ears, noses, and hearts. But you want to party like it's 1999. You want to go get your nails done, get your car done, talk about the beautiful house, the job you have, and all of this stuff, the political influence that you have. but that's not yet and still the thing that will give you freedom, justice, and equality. This is not the thing that will liberate you and emancipate you mentally and spiritually and economically and culturally from a taskmaster that refuses to let you go toward self. I say to you all, it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because this is the day of vindication, this day of decision, wherein God presents all the facts. He allows you to look at everything and put them on a scale of facts and weigh them on the scale of life and time and make an educated decision on which side you should choose, right or wrong. He's not going to say, hey, do this. He's giving you the choice to do this or that. But make sure you make the educated choice, because the ramifications of your choice could mean life for you or death for you and your future generation. This is the day of requital. God is requiring all to stand up and be accountable for their thoughts and their actions, for their speech and their mannerisms. This is a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We are living in the day, I call it the day in the age of vindication. This is the day that the Bible prophesied about, when all of the prophets of old would be vindicated. And we're seeing the vindications of God's last. Remember, Mr. Elijah Muhammad says that, I am Moses. I am Jesus. I am all of the prophets of God. I am that last messenger. All of the lives of all of the old prophets will be culminated in my life. And now we're looking at it. So if he's vindicated, then all of those who preceded him are being vindicated too, right? This is common sense. Come, let us reason together. I'm your little brother here on the Star and Crescent Report, talking back to you. 347-989-0855. Holler at your boy. 347-989-0855. Crash and Burn Economics, a continuation. It's about to come full circle. Now, as we talk about this, let us go back to Our Savior as a Wild, because we're going to hit back what I told you on the last show. I did not forget that when we do this show, we were going to revisit a couple of clips from the previous show to get our mind right into the economic situation that America faces and the world faces. And from that point on, we'll go further in the economic situation, and then we'll try to mix in something of the geopolitical and the political climate or atmosphere of the world, so that you can understand where we are in time and in prophecy. Again, brothers and sisters, if I lived a trillion years and had 7 trillion tongues, I can never praise Almighty God Allah enough for waking me up, washing me up, cleaning me up, and standing me up in this day and time. It is a very, very beautiful time to be your brother, to be black, to be of the lineage of the great, great scientist Shabazz. Brothers and sisters, let's go to Our Savior Has Arrived. So, Muhammad writes, the God of righteousness and peace today has made his appearance to take to himself the rule of the nation under the government of peace, freedom, justice, and equality. Allah seeks to separate the evil from the good and the good from the evil. He declared himself as coming to seek and to save the black man from his kidnapper. Now, Allah came to unite and restore the black man again to his own and bless him with the rule of the nations of the earth, as declared by the prophets Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. Stop right there. That right there, that paragraph right there, what I just read to you, is enough for another show, because there's so much into that one little paragraph on separation, on unification, on black unity, on liberation mentally and spiritually, and bringing you into a state of worthiness to be the pillars of a new world. That paragraph in itself, brothers and sisters, I could talk to you on for hours, but we don't have that time. We don't have that window of time to be able to talk to you, because time passes so fast when we're doing the show. So I'm going to revisit some, because it's something in this chapter that I want to touch upon, okay? Because we're looking at the outbreak of hostilities. And remember, there was a great outbreaking of hostilities, and all of the nations misread their opponents in 1913 and 1914, which marked the end of the Caucasian world. They didn't call it World War for nothing. They recognized that the world was at war. They recognized that a change was underway. It was only you who were not enlightened to the time and to the knowledge of yourself who did not recognize this. So, again, we revisit something that was said on the last show. I'm going to try to refresh your mind. I'm going to try to bring something back to you. As we continue to go into this, I'm having problems, again, brothers and sisters, they're freezing my screen. And it is being hit by a virus, but we expect this on every show. And I do see dozens of calls being dropped as I'm speaking to you all, okay? So I noticed that, but I still have to keep going on the show and keep trying to get this over to you. All while the devil is doing this, it is just bearing witness to the time, his desperation, and what he sees coming to him. Now, I'm going to go to this. Hopefully, this will allow me to do this. These quick ones, I'm going to try to hit three quick ones, and then we're going to go into something. We're going to address this on Our Savior Has Arrived, and then we're going to go to different subjects to tie it all in for you, because I look at the time. Time is limited, and we might have to go over. I'm trying not to hold you here, because I know you have things to do, and I as well have things to do, but my first job is to teach civilization to the uncivilized and to enlighten you, okay? So this is what I'm trying to do. I want you to listen closely to this. This is 1 minute and 1 second. We listened to this before, but I got to refresh your memories to this, since this is the continuation of the first show, okay? Here we go right here. I'm hitting it. I don't know if they're allowed.
It's through yet. Do you think that's what, if you take a look at 2017, you look down the field here, are you thinking that 2017, we got truth bombs, we have presiding over a bankruptcy, and maybe scarcity and inflation, is that what you're seeing in 2017, all unfolding in 2017? Talk about that.
Well, I would add one other thing, and it just goes hand in hand. I mean, if we're in the middle of a, quote, a bankruptcy, and goods are becoming scarce, the financial system will come down very rapidly. Once it snaps, and I've said this before, is that once something somewhere truly snaps and control is lost, it'll probably only take 48 hours for everything to close. And under that scenario, I think there's a good chance you're going to see martial law.
People keep saying...
So, listen, we didn't have that on the last show. I didn't click that. But you see how Allah works. I didn't click that clip. But Allah takes what the devil does and he changes it for your benefit. We heard Bill Halter talking about the system is going to come down. It's going to come down quick. All right? This, when we're seeing the signs of that right here, right now. But I want to go to something. I want you to listen to, hopefully, they will not bother this. We're going to try to get these clips in. And I want you to listen closer to this right here. This is from the previous show. And I'm clicking clip 6 just in case they mess it up. Here we go.
Well, all you're doing is masking all the symptoms, and that's what they've been doing for years and years and years. Now, the question is the economy really back on track? Are we in this incredible recovery? Is retail and unemployment doing what they say? Well, we can find out by rail intermodal traffic. This is long-haul movement of shipping containers and truck trailers by rail. And when we look at this, what do we see? Well, we see that the shipments of all these different types of goods, like laptops, chickens, anything else you can think of, it shows us how these products are being moved around the country, which shows us, are people purchasing it? Are stores stocking up on it? And for the first time since 2009, yearly values are down versus the prior year. In a percentage terms, the 2015-2016 decline is almost the same as the 2007-2008 decline when the financial crisis was raging, which tells us we are back where we started. Nothing has improved actually, it is getting worse. Because here we are in this incredible recovery, and rail traffic, truck traffic is declining. This is an incredible indicator to show us how the economy is really doing. Because if people were purchasing and stores were stocking up and things were great, truck traffic and rail traffic would be incredible. But we're not seeing it whatsoever. Which shows us that this economy is completely melting down. It is a complete lie. It's an illusion right now.
So, you heard that from the previous show. We're going to play another clip. But, again, we go back to how the devil tries to interfere with the show. And he played a clip that I wasn't clicking on or wasn't trying to play. And as he did that, I looked down and I said, you know what? What better to show them this clip? I'm going to go back to those other clips, and I want to play this about what the white man says is going to look like at the end of 2017. You have to pay close attention, because as they're talking, if you're not listening, they'll talk over your head. Remember that we were never in the caves, right? We were never in the caves. We had always had scientific knowledge on how to do and execute things. It was them who only came into knowledge about 4,000 years ago. But I want you to pay close attention to Mr. Holter again, as Mr. Holter tell you what he feels is going to look like in 2017. This is about a minute and 15.
There's no doubt about that.
So, in the end, what do you think? What is it going to look like in? We just went through December, Christmas, and New Year's, and all that. So at the end of 2017, what do you think the year end will look like? What do you think will have transpired, and what will we be facing at the end of this year?
Well, I don't think it's even going to resemble what today looks like. I think there's a very good chance, I mean, everything we talked about, I think you could see the financial system come down. It may be by the end of the year that the financial system is coming back up, coming back online. I have no idea when or how long, but I've said for years that we're going to have a bank holiday. They're going to have some type of reset, and the reset will include a bank holiday. Your ATM won't work. Your credit cards won't work. Distribution is going to fail. Credit, it's all about credit. Everything. Everything financial, everything economic relies on credit. And I just believe that we're going to have a credit instance this year where credit either becomes very scarce or actually dries up completely. And in that scenario, it's not good. You're talking about distribution breaking down, people going hungry, riots, martial law, cross default, from country to country to country to country, bank to bank to bank, broker to broker to broker. Everything runs and lives and depends on credit. And without credit, you know, it's almost like caveman days.
You know what
you said? Bill Holter.
Almost like caveman days, meaning uncivilized, savagery, unenlightened. That's what he's saying, that he sees for his world. Remember, at one time they presented themselves to be the most enlightened, the most civilized, the most educated. But we're looking at a gradual devolution of the world of Yaqub. We're looking at it. They're telling you these things right here, right now, in your ears and in your eyes and in your face, yet you're trying to reject this because you fell in love with these people who have been nothing but brutal and hard on you and your people. So he says, everything runs on credit. Huh? That's what he says. So, without that, the whole thing falls apart, right? That doesn't mean that you have money. That means credit. For a person to say that you have good credit, that says good faith. That's what they're saying. Credit is good faith. I will loan you this because I have good faith that you will be able to repay me back. I mean, so, it's just like the dollar system. The reason people have been taking dollars is because of the so-called belief that one day the U.S. would honor its agreements and pay back its debt. But now nations are looking and they're seeing that she'll never be able to escape this debt burden. And when all of this is said, war follows. because America tries to continue her stranglehold, her grip on the world. But this is impossible because we're living in a different time. So as America's dollar collapses, you'll see credit freeze up because not only are the two one and the same, they go hand in hand. Without the dollar, you have no credit because no one is lending to you. And without credit or belief or good faith in the dollar is no longer supported because it is nothing but what that man said earlier, an illusion. Right? So we're looking at the fall of this white man's world. And you are not, it just boggles my, it just confuses me to the highest degree that you're not even taking a second just to look at these things. But Muhammad has it right when he's describing the situation at hand with this white man's world and the black man and woman who so foolishly thinks that I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it the next day. Time is not on their side in ignorance. Listen to what Muhammad says. You notice that our black people, especially here in America, so now he's talking about globally, but then he puts emphasis on the black people here in America. Why? Because these are the ones who have been spoiled and robbed mentally and spiritually and who believe that tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year, I will be able to do X, Y, Z. Why do you believe that? Because you believe that this white man will overcome God. You don't say it openly, but your actions and your speech bears witness that you believe that America will rebound. You believe that she will overcome prophecy because God gives you a time frame which he's going to execute the judgment against America and all of the ungodly. He's going to reduce her to poverty and bring her to her knees, and you keep talking about next year and the year after next and blah, 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 when there's a time frame set on this stuff. Prophecy ain't forever. There's a culmination point. There's a cutting off point. You understand? So Muhammad writes, you notice that our black people, especially here in America, have become sold to nothing in the world but sport and play. This is the way the people were of Lot and Noah. They were sold to sport and play, and they hated the teachings of those righteous prophets. And the day of their doom came, unexpected to them because they did not heed their warnings. What do you call the day of doom? It's the cutoff point, right? That you give no more, you get no more guidance, you get no more grace, you get no more mercy, and there's a fulfillment or a culmination point. You have reached the zenith, and there must be ramifications and repercussions for all of the things that were warned and all of the warnings that were given to you and all of the time that was allotted to you, black man and black woman. Listen close to what Muhammad says. This is something that you've got to understand. And the day of their doom came, unexpected to them, because they did not heed their warnings. So it is here today. So Muhammad says, look back then. You'll see what happened to them and why it happened to them. Then he goes and he transfers that for you to look at today. And he says, so it's here today, 24 hours a day. Well, listen to this. When Elijah Muhammad was talking to you about this, they didn't have 24-hour ESPN. They didn't have 24-hour Fox News. They didn't have 24-hour court shows, 24-hour relationship shows. They didn't have 24-hour shows. There was a cutoff point on the TV when the TV would go to nothing but static, right? But listen to what he says. So he's telling you, he's putting you in a time frame of what to expect, when to expect it, he says. So here it is today. He wasn't talking about when he was speaking about it. He was talking about a time when there would be 24 hours a day. They are trying to have sport and play and talking over foolish things, spending their time in foolishness. I fear of an evil day overtaking my people here in America soon. So he's telling you that when this thing happens, he fears of an evil day that will soon overtake his people here in America. Why? Because they spent their time in madness. So he goes further and says, true, the world is warning you now. How are they warning you, Elijah Muhammad? How are they warning us? They're telling you the debt burden is unpayable. They're telling you that America is bankrupt. They're telling you that Europe and the European Eurozone is bankrupt. They're telling you that Alaska is threatening to secede European nations are collapsing due to the overdrive in that debt burden and the monetary and fiscal policies of their leaders and their monetary policymakers. They're telling you that the world is headed for war. Isn't that what they're telling you? What did Elijah Muhammad say? True. The world is warning you now. And you act as though white people can help it. This is what you do. You act like they can help it. I'm going to do this next week. I'm going to go to school for 4 more years. Then I'm going to give me 4 more years after that. And then I'll go do such and such and such and such. There's a cutoff point to prophecy. You understand? And if you are not aware of the time, this is why Muhammad continually tells us. Consider the time. Consider means to think over. To examine. To wait. Consider the time. You're not in 50. You're not in the 60s. You're not in the 70s. You're at the ending of the grace period that was allotted to Yaqub's world. So you don't have 20 or 30 or 40 more years for this madness to continue unless it pleases Allah. But he says, true, the world is warning you now, and you act as though the white people can help it. But they are telling you now that unemployment keeps mounting and they can do nothing about it. Aren't they telling you that? Huh? Go to any independent so-called alternative media site. Aren't they telling you that? Aren't they telling you that household debt has reached unbelievable proportions in America? Aren't they telling you that jobless rate, homeless rate, the hunger rate, it has exploded to astronomical numbers? Aren't they telling you that? So Muhammad says, they are warning you that you are going to get hungry too, but you are not trying to take it with sincerity, that they are telling you the truth. You are like a child who cries to its mother for bread and milk, whether there's any in the kitchen or not. So this is you, a big old grown child who has been nursed and fed by the white people and sheltered by them, and you think you will always have this from them. Now listen to what the example that he gives you, and this is the example that I give you too. But no, sir. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. At last, the rich man died, and in his death of poverty. How did he die? Muhammad talks, his wealth eluded him. So he died in a death of poverty. Not a literal death at the time, but a death of the deprivation of him being able to will his, put his will on you. The deprivation of him being able to dominate you, to tempt you with wealth and with his power. That was a death, that was a grave for him because he was always alive to put you down under his rule. But God deprived him of that. And so in his depth of poverty, he came to suffer the same things that Lazarus suffered. So what you see going on in America and around the world, this is to bring the rich man to his knees. You are the Lazarus. And so God is going to bring him to his knees for Lazarus' sake. He says, at last, the rich man died, and in his depth of poverty, he came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered. What did he suffer, Elijah Muhammad? Being deprived of good homes and luxury of all kinds. This will be taken in this day and time. Hold up, what day and time, Elijah Muhammad? Well, let's go back. So here it is today, 24 hours a day. So now we get an understanding of when this time would be, in a time of 24-hour entertainment, sport, and play. That's this day and time. Is that not right, brothers and sisters? You're listening to Crash and Burn Economics, the continuation. It's about to come full circle, part two. We're trying to give you this so that you can understand. Wait what I'm saying, black man and black woman. I'm not here to force feed it to you, but wait what I'm saying. Put it on the scale of facts and see whether or not it is the truth. The white man is telling you this. We go back to something. The white man, Muhammad said, is telling you this, but you act like a big old grown child. He's telling you that his world is coming to an end. He's telling you that everything is collapsing. He's telling you that war is coming. You know what they say? What What did Jerusalem they say? When everything fails, they take us to war. That's what Jerusalem this is. Right? Well, listen to what this Jew lover, this other man speaking. He's a Jew lover. And listen to what he says. This is about 2 or 3 minutes. And he says, he talks about it looks like it's 1914 all over again. And he talks about the war cycle is coming. Now look, we have a cycle of debt, and we have a cycle of fiscal prudency. And once they go off that fiscal prudency, they become locked in a debt cycle. And the way that they try to grow themselves out of debt is through war. This is the white man all day long. How did he expand himself from Europe? When he had no resources, what did he do? He tried to grow his economy by what? Expanding around the world, did he not? And he occupied, and this white man so evil, so wicked, and you take it hook, line, and sinker, he'll say, such and such discovered New Zealand. Such and such discovered Australia. Such and such, Mr. Christopher Columbus discovered America. And then you say, hold up. Were there not people there before? He went there? Well, yeah, we found whole civilization. Then how the hell did he discover it then if it wasn't ever lost? Huh? But do you understand the madness? You brothers and sisters, you got to think. So they put their Eurocentric thinking into you, which causes a malfunctioning in the aboriginal gray matter in your head, which prevents you from analyzing these things clearly. Do you ever think about that? How the hell did Christopher Columbus discover something that wasn't ever lost? Huh? How did these people discover these other places? But see, this to show you that they discounted the life that was there. When they put their stamp on it, put their flag there, occupy those nations and claim it for their own, they had to expand. The Dutch had to expand. The Spanish had to expand. The Italians had to expand. France, because they had little to no resources in Europe. So bloodshed was necessary to continue their parasitic lives and civilization. Where are they going to expand today? Huh? How are they going to impose their rule on the nation? As a matter of fact, there was a desperate attempt. Let me say this to you, brothers and sisters, because you may have not known this. This may have gone unnoticed to you, brothers and sisters. You know how I speak about France as one of the main colonial powers. And how I told you about there's about 11 or 12 African nations that still uses the franc as their monetary unit. And how, they, just like you have Britain with her former colonial her colonies, they have the Commonwealth. I think Pakistan is a part of the Commonwealth. I think India is still a part of the Commonwealth. All of these nations are, even though they're independent, they're semi-ruled by the Queen of England. Well, France, a few days ago, had a meeting with some of the former colonial country, the former colonies of France, to impose more economic, more of an economic dictatorship on their economies to strangle them from breaking free of France economically and politically. So long as they're under her monetary unit, they're under her colonial rule. This took place in Africa. I don't know if it was Senegal or somewhere, but it was in North Africa. This took place. Did you know that? This is what Muhammad says. These diehards, they're refusing to go because their economies are collapsing. And this meeting was an emergency meeting called by France to her former colony. This took place just recently. I bet you didn't even know that. You know why? Because you were talking about Steve Harvey. You were talking about this madness on TV, right? You didn't pay attention to the time and what's going on in the time. But listen to what this devil has to say about this war cycle. He's a Jew lover, and sometimes he's talking, but you got to listen close to the devil because he'll lull you to sleep, and then he'll confuse you a little bit. But listen close to this, and then we'll come back, analyze it, and go to another clip. The time is at 6 minutes. You brothers and sisters are going to give me another 10 or 15 minutes, so don't answer your phone. Don't click over. And please be cautious because you know Blog Talk Radio will terminate your call, okay? So listen close to this. I just clicked.
That's more important.
Ah, very good. And then I want to get into this war cycle. You know, they had this dreadful vote in the UN. And you've been talking about the war cycle. Just so people know that when you talk about the war cycle, you're talking about big. You said that the World War, it's so big that World War I and World War II were really part of the same cycle. I think I have this right, correct? And that the body count for this was huge. And if you take a look at the Gulf Wars, he said that's really a kind of a little blip. You're talking about a big war cycle coming. Will you please explain the big war cycle coming?
Well, like in my research on financial markets, we did research in war cycles, and I think I've been saying a lot of war cycles, but to make it very simple, I said, we're now, I said it already 4 years ago, it's going to flare up everything, everywhere. So what does it mean? It means that if a stock market is close to a top, some stocks are just tanking, and others still hold up. So what you see here is some countries are just tanking, and the rest is still holding up, meaning that we're forming a top, which means is that the cycle is coming into the danger zone. As you may remember, I still looked at a big problem with China and Japan.
That's right,
you sure did. That didn't start yet, but we have some problems with the Chinese islands, and I don't know how this is going to continue. I think it's going to come from there. And for the people who look at us, if you see that this is a war, and you go back 100 years ago, and then it was 1914 when the big war started, and 100 years ago it was 1814, Napoleon, and then it was 1714, Habsburg, and if you Google, let's say, big war around 600, big war around 700, 800, it always starts in the second decade of a new era, of the new era. So it's very interesting how that works. Well, maybe you can say the people who lived through the other war don't remember it, how bad it is, but usually, as you know, I don't look for reasons. So I still see that there are problems of war and peace everywhere. Something can go wrong. I mean, a small thing that everybody looks at it and doesn't do anything is that we don't know how far North Korea is. If North Korea would just shoot one rocket, then we have a major thing going on. If somebody will put a nuclear device somewhere in the United States, there's a big thing going on. So a small detail, like remember maybe 1914, they killed just one emperor and then the whole thing started. So everything is on the edge. And it can ignite any minute. Now, this you saw in France, and this you saw in Germany, and it's still on a small scale because terror is still simple weapon, but they're getting very sophisticated, and if they could, they would use much more weapons of destruction, and then the world has to wake up, and then you have a major war in your hands.
So, did you see how he referenced 1914 several times? And he talked about the World War and World War II being the same thing, just a continuation of each other. See, the devil, he talks about we're now entering a war cycle and how this usually takes place in the second decade after each century. See, ever since this man has been on the face of the planet, he had done nothing but war and occupy, rob and rape, kill and maim, and he does it in the name of democracy and freedom and fighting terrorism when he's the biggest terrorist on the face of the planet Earth. This is why war has to come. But remember, we go back to chapter 43. I told you I wouldn't forget this. We're going back to old world out, new world in, come in. So after Muhammad talks about the changing of worlds, and remember that this white man just said something about we're entering a new era. And, well, the word new, let's get this definition first, because nothing is better than clarity. Nothing is better than, like the books tell you, get knowledge, get wisdom, but above all things, get an understanding. And I bear witness, because we all don't understand. So new means having recently come into existence. Isn't that something? New means having recently come into existence. Now, we're going to use that definition there, because that made or become fresh, right? So we're going to use that definition for new, and then we'll go into something that says era, okay? The era. It says a fixed point in time for which a series of years is reckoned. Now, a memorial, a memorable or important date or event, especially one that begins a new period in the history of a person or thing. So now this man just told you, according to the definition, that we have entered a new world, a new time, because it's not like the old time. Remember, brothers and sisters, I want you to pay close attention to what these people are saying to you, because you hear them, but yet you don't hear them, okay? Now we go back to chapter 43 of Our Savior Has Arrived. And remember, this is one of the most important books that you could read, that you could study, that you could get an understanding to, because this book was the last book published by our leader, teacher, and guide, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is the last book that he gave. Listen to this good. At the last Savior's Day, the last messenger of God gives out his last published book to the people for free. Now, before that, he had given you How to Eat to Live 1 and 2. He had given you Message to the Black Man and the Fall of America. And then he comes to acquaint you with what is underway, the coming in of a new and the outgoing of the old. He's coming to acquaint you that you no longer have to look for Jesus Christ to come. He's telling you that your Savior has arrived. Let's go to this book here on chapter 43, page 212 and 213. Listen closely to what he's saying. And then at the bottom he says, he has a little semi-chapter up there called Fall of Ancient Babylon. Remember what this white man just said about war cycles and what they expect to come, because the economic situation has deteriorated to such a rate that war is inevitable, okay? And how did this happen? Allah took the breaks, the boundaries off this white man, and he let his greed and his corruption entice him, and he destroyed his own system from within, did he not, brothers and sisters? I want you to pay close attention to what Muhammad says. In the fall of ancient Babylon, Jeremiah 50:46, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. Here, the Bible teaches us, and we see today, at the fall of the old world, there is a great noise of war, the fighting of war, the destruction of nations, towns, and cities, and the killings of their citizens. There is disagreement and confusion of the heads of nations. Listen to this. It is a very dreadful time that the populations of the earth are now living in. This is the time of the destruction of a world. Now, hold on right there. When he started describing this, America wasn't overthrowing governments like she's doing today. She wasn't doing this minute. She was overthrowing some, but she didn't have it like she's doing today. She has upped this to the nth degree, hadn't she, with her color revolution and her NGOs talking about democracy and aid to all of the nations. You are free to choose so long as the choice that you make is in our interest. This is America, the hypocrite of the world. So Muhammad says, it is a very dreadful time that the population of the earth are now living in. This is the time of the destruction of a world. It is not to be compared with the destruction of an organization or a few towns as it was in the days of Noah. The destruction today is the destruction of a whole world, not a part of a world, not a fraction of a world, but a whole world. He says, the prophets could not have given us a better picture of what we may expect today than the picture of what took place in the fall of ancient Babylon. You see, he gives you some to go by, something to study, something to prepare yourself, because he's warning you of what is coming, the impending doom of America. He's trying to tell you these things, but you don't want to take this serious. Listen to what he says right here, and tell me whether or not this is the time that we're living in. And before I read this, remember that America's deploying troops and warplanes and weapons to Asia and warships. She's deploying them to Africa and the Middle East. She's deploying them all around the coast of South and Central America in her so-called war game. She just had some warships to go through the Panama Canal. And what about she's deploying her most advanced fighters and weapons to Europe? What is this? These are not moves for peace. What are these moves for? These are moves for an impending flare-up or conflagration of war. Is that not right? So Muhammad says, the earth, land, and sea are set in battle array. Every type of deadly weapon is fashioned and is now being used against man and man. See the Holy Quran, chapter 30, 41. There cannot be any peace for man under these conditions. What is America doing? Is she not deploying her nuclear-tipped cruise missiles to Europe? Why? Why is she doing that if she's saying she's after peace? That's a provocation. That's an act of war. So if she's really after peace, what is she starting war for? Because she sees her world dying. She sees that God is after her. She sees that there is no escape for her. And her economy is in such a condition that she cannot get herself out of. She cannot extricate herself out of. And no amount of war this time will kickstart the economy. No amount of war will kickstart the ingenuity or scientific prowess or growth in America or discovery in America like it once did. Why? Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that at the end of the white world, God had taken their creative mind from them so that they would not be able to further their world. And he started restoring our creative mind so black people could start thinking towards self. Black people can start thinking towards, I need to have. I got to have this for my people in my world. We're looking at this. And remember, one of the main things that you have missed that most of you didn't get, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also taught us that at the end of America, she would become like a dictatorship. What are they saying today about Trump taking off? Huh? What are they talking about the last leaders? From Bush, Clinton, Obama, up to Trump today. Have they not all wrote about how they are they have tendencies of dictators, right? So we're looking at the culmination of prophecy. And again, one of the most important and crucial questions to ask is, why are all of these events that was talked about and prophesied are happening at the end of the 60 to not exceed 70-year rule or extension? There's a time frame here. Remember we talked about that at the beginning of the show? There's a time frame here. There's a cutoff point here. And these things must take place on time and in time. You're the one out of time because you are believing in this white man. You're believing in this madness here. But nothing he can do can stop the divine onslaught that God is putting on his behind to free you at all costs. You, black man and black woman in America, or the apple of God's eye. And he said, and he declared through an oath that he would kill off nations to give you a home. So that's why I don't worry too much about what the devil is saying, what the devil is trying to do. Because I already know his history is written, and the outcome is already written also. So I'm going to have confidence and patience in God to bring about the outcome, the deliverance of black America, the deliverance of the aboriginal people globally, the deliverance of our future generations from this beast and his system and his mind, state of mind, crash and burn economics. The continuation is about to come full circle. I know you're tired of your brother, but please give me about 10, 15 more minutes. Let me try to get a couple more clips on, because this is very important. As I say to you, each show is a crap shot. You see, we might not be able to schedule it, and then we may be able to schedule it, and then they may wait right till the next morning to allow us to schedule the show. This is how they play these games with us, but we're used to it. So give me a little bit more time with you, brothers and sisters, and I promise you won't regret it. You're going to get something out of it, okay, because your little brother loves you. Let's go to something. So, again, the wars are an extension of the economic situation and the political situation of America and Europe. As the situation becomes untenable politically, as people continue to lose jobs, security for their family, their homes, prospects of a better future, as the wealth and poverty divide grows and the color line becomes magnified, and they see no way out, you'll see insurrection and strife, civil war and civil excitement. And the government has to do something. They're stuck there in that catch-22. And they believe that war would bring them out, but this is the war. These are the wars that will bring them to their knees. These are the wars that the prophets predicted that will break their power universally, the white man's power universally, black man and black woman. You have to listen to this. I want you to listen closely to this. This is about 3 minutes, okay?
The collapse financial news. Now, lately, we've been hearing a lot about how Trump is making deals with many different companies to bring jobs back to America. And it sounds fantastic on the surface. You know, jobs coming back to America, factories being built, billions of dollars being invested in the country. But right now, it's just talk. No jobs have been created. No factories have been built. And we get a strange announcement from IBM. Now, IBM announced in December that it's going to hire 25,000 workers in the U.S. Now, this is very interesting because IBM right now is laying off workers, and all the laid off workers are saying, well, wait a minute. We're getting laid off, or we are already laid off, and you're going to be hiring 25,000 people in the U.S.? What's wrong with this picture? Now, all of this doesn't make sense. I know the car companies are saying that, yes, they're going to be building manufacturing plants. They're going to be bringing workers back and giving them jobs in America. Walmart's going to be creating 10,000 jobs. They're going to be building stores all over the place. Well, this is all very suspicious because, first of all, the car companies, their sales aren't there. And right now, it looks like they're topping off and things are starting to decline. In retail, well, that's a complete disaster in itself. And we can see that all these companies that are promising this, well, I don't know if they can deliver at this point. Because if we look at IBM, for instance, revenues in the fourth quarter fell to $21.8 billion. This is the 19th quarter in a row, year over year, that they've seen declines. In 2016, their revenues fell 2%. This is why they're laying off people. Actually, corporations, they're not seeing profits right now. This is why they're laying off people, buying back their own stock, pushing their stock prices up. And we're seeing that all these companies are making promises, and most likely, they will not be able to keep them. So IBM is out there, and they're giving us a lot of ifs. Spokesman Doug Shelton told Bloomberg about hiring those 25,000 people as the layoffs would also continue. Well, that doesn't make sense. If we are able to fill these positions, he said, and that could be a big if IBM doesn't want to fill the positions, we expect IBM U.S. employment to be up over that period. Up by what? 10? 1,000? He didn't even say. But it's all a big if. And right now, the sales, well, they're not supporting all of this. Retail sales is not supporting building more stores, adding people. We need to go to the heart of the problem. Just having companies say, listen, I'm going to tax you on the border unless you create jobs. Well, guess what? They can promise everything. They didn't even explain when the time frame would be. Oh, yes, we're going to create jobs maybe in the next 10 years. Yes, some said a little bit sooner, but none of them really nailed down what they're going to do. They're just going along with the flow. And until they start actually hiring people, well, it's just words once again.
So we see them lying and masking the degree of decline in the manufacturing and in retail in the job sector. Now, if they don't have jobs for their own, how are they going to produce for you when they think so much less of you? If they can't give their own a job and you're the least in this society, how are you going to get one? See, this is what God talks about the prodigal son and daughter. This is what a lot of people miss when they're talking about separation and because they don't understand prophecy. They don't understand time. And this, with being void of that, will make you out of step with God. You may have the greatest of intentions, but without this knowledge, it can put you on the opposite end of the spectrum with God as an enemy. So, the white man is telling you this. He's telling you that he can't do anything for his own. He's telling you that if he can't do anything for his own, and you're the least in his society, what you think he's going to do for you? So, Muhammad says that this thing must take place to force the prodigal son to go to himself. Well, why do I see it on Facebook? Why are black people suffering so? Why won't black people follow this? Why won't black? Because it is not time. I've said this ad nauseum. There must be multitudes of events, cascading events, one behind the other, that beats this black man and woman and forces him. And as Elijah Muhammad, the last and the greatest messenger of God, says, when this takes place, the black man in America will look like they woke up overnight. So these things must, if you don't understand this, you'll be out there exasperated and anxious and overcome because you see the desperate look and the desperate looking situation of our people with our boys and our girls. You can't tell the girls from the boys today. The boys walking around with their pants to the knees, twirling their hair. They got the long hair. The girls got the short hair. is madness. But all of these things must take place. And that's where you should find comfort and solace in, knowing that God is working his work and he will eventually bring it to a head, because the prophets predicted it. And time cannot hold back what God has ordained. Crash and burn economics, the continuation. It's about to come full circle. Now, as these things are going on inwardly, they have a connection outwardly, because the nations are now dumping U.S. debt. And America knows this. And so she's trying to buy back her own crack. The only bad part about that is she's smoking the crack too. And she's trying to put on this appearance as though she's in good health and she's making money and everything is hunky-dory. The Dow goes up to 18,000 points in unemployment, real unemployment for black America at 65%, 75%. Isn't that something? Remember, we played a clip one time where the white man says that true unemployment for white people was, and at that time he said, I think 17-point-some percent. Now, and then he goes back and he doubled down and said, for black America, it's two or three times or more what the real unemployment for white America. So that puts you in a situation to think, wow. And then it was, and then in that same clip I played a while ago, they talked about the situation in Chicago. And we see that's the city that keeps on killing, right? But on top of that, there was a 90%, now that's a black city, founded by a black man. And the unemployment rate for black people in that city at the time, and that was a year and a half ago that I played the clip, was 90 to 92%. Just imagine what it is now. And you still think there's a rebound? And I hear these so-called social leaders talking about, we need an investment in the children. We need this. How the hell can a government that's against you help you in such a way to redeem you? And on top of that, how can they fund these things when they're bankrupt themselves? We're not processing this because we don't want to accept the right way. We want it our way, right? You Burger King, you want it your way, right? All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. But the thing is, the nations on the outside, they're seeing it. And as America's crash continues, unabated, which it will, and picks up steam, which it will, the nations will look on, and you'll see nations like China dumping America's money. And you'll see hyperinflation, as we played on the last show, spreading back to America because she no longer has an outlet to export one of her greatest export products, which was hyperinflation to other people's nations. It's coming back, and America is set up for a great fall. I want you to listen to this 3-minute clip. I'm trying to get
it. Allen is going to change the situation and that boost for the market.
So do you think we get the market crash you were talking about? You said to me that if you're not positioned correctly for this market
right.
crash in 2017, that you're going to lose everything. Please
well, we also, first of all, talked about you have to get totally out of the bonds and bond funds. And as you know, they went almost down 20%. And as I have been writing in my notes, that most brokers that made a career on the bull market on bonds, they have never seen a real bear market. So although the people are down 20%, they tell them, well, it's going to come back, and the destruction of capital in a bearish bond market is much more than a destruction of the stocks. So that first of all happened, and
you're talking about, and just so I can intercede here, and I don't want to, just so for the people that aren't as bright as you and not as and are like me, you're talking about the interest rates going up and destroying the value of the bonds. That's what you're talking
right.
about,
and especially APM bond funds. You don't get back your principal. If you own the bonds, you get back your principal at least, right? But then if you bought it at a very low rate because you didn't get any return on your retirement money and inflation will only go up to 2%, you're already going to be negative on your return.
So stuff like pension funds and Puerto Rican bonds, those are just dead all together. Those are gone. Municipal bonds, pension funds, like the Dallas, the police department, way underwater. Puerto Rico said they're not going to pay. Other bond funds are just getting crushed. All this negative interest rate paying bonds in Europe. All that stuff gets destroyed. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, we talked once about even if the economy is weak, and why would bonds go down? Not that I think it's going to be weak, but we just discussed that. And I said, get the same thing in Greece. If people start really being afraid, they want much higher interest rates in order to give you a loan. So that means if an economy can become weak and interest rates can get very high, like happened in Greece and in Spain and Italy, and I think people should learn from it and not think that what happens in the United States is an isolated situation. On top of that, if you take a look at the bond market in Europe, you know I'm from Amsterdam, 95% or even 98% of the bonds that are issued are bought by the local people, not by foreigners. And here you have a situation where a lot of Chinese are sitting on these bonds, and they don't want to lose too much money. So it's like, where's the equilibrium? Where is the price that China says we're losing too much money, we're going to sell bonds? Well, then interest rates will shoot up, not even because of economic reasons, but just because China would start selling a big part of their bonds. So that's one reason why we really have to watch the dollar also, because if the dollar goes too low, they're also going to sell their bonds. So there's a lot of things that have to be watched, and I think the situation is much more complicated than most people think.
And hence, we keep telling you that there's so many things interconnected. You heard what that man said? He said everything that happens in America is not an isolated thing. It's so interconnected with what's going on around the world. And for you to understand the decline of the dollar, you must see the people who are moving against the dollar. You must see the economics and the geopolitics behind this and why. And then China, this man tells you that either way, China is going to dump the dollar. He's going to dump the treasuries. See, China doesn't have a choice in this matter. This was decreed by God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. So you're looking at the fall of America in real time. This is the fall of America opened up. This is message to the black man opened up. This is our Savior has arrived opened up. You're listening to the live readings of these books, the fulfillment of prophecy of the Bible and the Holy Quran. You're listening to them, the Star Crescent Report, the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. We're giving it to you straight. But he said something at the beginning of his clip. I'm going to replay the clip and then I'm going to stop it after he says this. I want you to pay close attention to this again.
Now it's going to change the situations and that boost for the market.
So do you think we get the market crash you were talking about? You said to me that if you're not positioned correctly for this market crash in 2017, that you're going to lose everything. Please explain.
Now, that you're going to lose everything. Now, remember this. So this is you, a big old grown child who has been nursed and fed by the white people and sheltered by them, and you think you will always have this from them. But no, sir. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man? You hear what they're saying? Aren't they talking about that parable now in real time? Do you not hear? If you don't hear, listen again to get this through your head.
Now it is going to change the situation and that boost for the market.
So do you think we get the market crash you were talking about? You said to me that if you're not positioned correctly for this market crash in 2017, that you're going to lose everything. Please.
What happened to the rich man? What happened to him? He wasn't positioned righteously, and what happened after that? God moved on him, and he lost what? Everything. What did Elijah Muhammad say? But no, sir. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man? At last, the rich man died, and in his death of poverty, he came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered. Isn't that what they're saying? Is that not what they said? Did you just not hear what he said? Huh? This is in our Savior has arrived. This is what you're hearing them talk about. Live, right on the air. No taking it out of context. I'm letting you hear it for yourself so that you can get an understanding of what must take place. And they know that the time is crucial to them. They know that the crash is near. Listen to this two-minute clip.
What about the dollar? Is the dollar you have in your pre-research notes that were sent to me that you think the dollar is topping right now? It's seen the top.
That's another strange situation, because fundamentally you would say that the difference in interest rates is much more for the dollar. And the difference in economic growth is much more for the dollar. I mean, emerging markets are really doing very badly still, and the euro is struggling. But cycle-wise, the euro should have hit the bottom, and the dollar should go down. So I always said my expertise is not in being a fundamental thinker. I also do that work, but I trust the cycle, and they say the dollar will not go much higher. Now, I know a lot of investment managers are preparing for much higher dollar, which means that they want to go into companies that are on the local market and not selling overseas. So that could be a surprise for them. So I know that the investment community is looking for higher dollar, but my cycle don't show that. My cycle showed the dollar should have been topping.
And just quickly back to the stock market, if the dollar's topping in that, do you think we're setting up for a big market crash this fall? Is that where you're thinking that the market will crash sometime this fall?
Well, as you know, I've been saying that for the last 4 years. Wait till the fall of 2017, then you have a major crash, getting the Dow Jones down to 5,000, not in this year, but until 2020. And that never changed. So that's why it was easy for me to say in 2016, don't expect a crash, because cycles show it's too early.
So the crash will actually literally begin in 2017. It's going to be a drawn-out affair. Is that your read on that?
Correct.
These countries are toast. Now, we see option traders right now, they are pricing in the third highest chance of a black swan in crash history. And we can see right now the skew which they're looking at. Well, this is calculated from prices of the S&P 500 out of the money options. Skew typically ranges from 100 to 150. A skew value of about 100 means that the perceived distribution of the S&P 500 long returns is normal, and the probability of an outlier return is therefore negligible. As the skew rises above 100, the left tail of the S&P 500 distribution acquires more weight, and the probabilities of outlier returns become more significant. And what we're seeing right now is that we have a skew which is over 100. It's at 146. Markets have only been more fearful of a collapse twice in its 27-year history. And here we are once again. And we saw this before. And the last two times this happened, the market plunged. And then a little while later, a couple months, the market moved back up. Now, remember, we were talking about collapses before in previous reports where we talked about this is going to be a two-phase collapse. And what we're seeing right now is that the market is signaling that it's coming down. And we see the IMF, who is saying that, yes, 2017 looks like there's going to be problems because of Trump's policies, because of the Brexit and many other countries that are looking to leave the EU. This might cause a disruption in the economy. The Fed is already out there saying, listen, the labor market doesn't look as strong as we thought. It's starting to cool down, and there's not much hiring going on anymore. So they're already building the narrative of what is coming. And we know what's coming. We've been tracking this. We know what's happening right now. We know the state of the real economy. Well, the real economy, and I'm not talking about the manipulated numbers that the government puts out there, because we went through all these numbers. We broke them down. We realize they are completely manipulated, and we know how they manipulate them. What the real economy shows us, it's coming down. It's going to collapse one way or another.
So, it's coming down. It's going to collapse. The collapse is underway, and yet you still have faith in the system. Brothers and sisters, I chose to let you hear these devils say these things so that you wouldn't say that what we were saying was racist. You wouldn't say that we're always picking on white people. I wanted you to see what these people who are informed have to say about the situation. My thing to you is just weigh what was said. Go back and listen to the show again. Weigh it. And look at the evidence, the weight of what we're saying, and put them on a scale of facts. and see whether or not Elijah Muhammad told you the truth. With an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the liberation, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. But the love that I have for you pales in comparison in the love that God, who has come to you in the